One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Spray.
The most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make them an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell it to you, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Throwing, man! Should we do a half hour of Aaron Rodgers audio? Aaron Glenn was mean to me. Why didn't you tell me that over the phone? The irony in that is if he tells you that you're not coming back over the phone, then it's you couldn't even tell it to me in person.
I was going to say.
Couldn't even say that to me to my face after all I gave.
I wanted to defend him yesterday because I heard. I didn't watch that interview. I have no interest in that guy. I heard that answer, though, and I went, man, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side.
You teamed with A-Rod for a bit.
Flying to New York for 10 minutes. And then I went, but wait a minute. It's Aaron Rodgers. If they just called and said, we don't want you, he's going to complain. Like, you couldn't even give me the distinguished courtesy of flying out.
Hall of Fame NFL career, you can't even fly me out to tell me in my face that you're cutting me? You're going to tell me over the phone? You're going to break up with me with a text message?
10 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
I just... 10 M's, man. I love 10 M's.
I love how offended he was by all of that when Aaron Glenn's desperately trying to change the culture when they allowed Aaron Rodgers to come in for 2 years and be the de facto general manager. And Aaron Glenn's like, dude, we're going in a different direction. Do you even want to play football anymore? He hasn't signed. The NFL draft's next week. We're still waiting on this guy to make a decision. He's going to drag his feet for another 2 months. Minnesota's in limbo. Pittsburgh's in limbo. All these teams who are maybe interested are like, are you going to do this or not? Is it going to affect your draft? Are you going to take a guy? This is why the Jets said, after 10 seconds in that interview,
what's the right move?
Thank you. Yeah. We're moving on.
I know you got fun with audio to get to here. Yeah. We actually did get, I caught audio. I sent it to Swag a couple segments ago. This is a throwback of audio. This is Mississippi State play-by-play as they had cloned their quarterback, but the clone was way shorter, and they were at the goal line. And Mike Leach called for the quarterback to lift up the running back and to throw the shorter version of himself into the end zone. Here was the play-by-play.
He's holding it too long. Throw it, man.
Just throw it, man. The Mike Leach goal line rumor is for an unfiltered podcast version of this show. Something that I could talk about for an hour.
It rivals for me the Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban.
It is so good.
Rumor mill stuff.
I don't know if it's real, but I would love to see it.
Just think Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Velcro. Say no more. Well, Sprague and Line coming up at 8:30. Get your fake sponsors in 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. Ryan Clark in a matter of moments.
We're going to go.
Let's get to this.
We didn't draw the play.
It wasn't my idea. I'm just talking about the idea.
I didn't cook it up.
It wasn't my theory. I'm just reacting to what his thoughts were.
I think you'd be better off pushing into the goal line than throwing
a
human being.
See, I disagree with you. It's unstoppable. Who's stopping that play?
A linebacker.
If they're high enough, you're not stopping that play. You can't jump that high.
I mean,
how high can you throw them? I don't know. I digress.
Depends on the weight.
It does. Totally does. Before we solve the world's problems, Mike Leach did not do that. But one musical artist did, thankfully. We've solved a lot of our issues here on Earth.
So we've settled all the
everything's
international.
Been solved. Everything's been solved.
The tariffs have been solved.
Totally
our
solved.
Allies are our allies again.
Totally
political
solved.
Divisiveness is over.
Yep. It's all been solved. We'll get to that in a moment, okay?
Yeah.
So it's a big deal, but I want to get to this first. My other bit of fun with audio. I'm quickly becoming one of my favorite head coaches.
Well, his name certainly helps.
It's great. He's had awesome audio. It's hilarious. He wanted to play the spring game this year. Like, Fran Brown at Syracuse has rapidly risen up my rankings of, like, I love this dude. I love everything about him. I'm now like a de facto Syracuse fan. I hope that they have success, and I hope this guy continues to kill it.
What do you think of when you hear the name?
I think of Farmer Fran. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I think of a guy in overalls yelling. And it's not him at all. Couldn't be more different. But that's just where my head goes when I think Fran Brown.
Oh, my man, you make it. Oh, my man, you make it.
So he obviously last year famously talked about not showering after losses and called himself a dirty boy and then won a game and said, now I can go bathe. Yeah. I loved all those quotes.
That's great.
He wanted to play the spring game with Dion.
Signed all the way up. Signed all the way.
Said, we'll fly out there and play your damn game. This will be a blast. And then the NCAA, of course, got in the way.
Showed Ryan Day how to actually use Kyle McCord.
He did. Yonda McCord turned into an NFL quarterback maybe this past year. Well, they had a player that was in the news recently, and his name was Trevor Peña, who I believe was a really good wide receiver for him last year. His numbers were really strong. He entered the transfer portal, Syracuse wide receiver. Fran Brown was doing an interview the other day, and I think this was like a Q's Sports Talk YouTube show or something where they're interviewing him, just kind of, hey, let's talk to the coach, right, behind the scenes. His honesty about one of his wide receivers entering the transfer portal was so good, and I felt like needed to be played.
With all due respect to everybody in the country, to every wide receiver, to everybody that's doing all this stuff, like, if you're going to make $2 million at wide receiver, that's to blow a homie over at Ohio State. Like, ain't nobody else making that money, giving a wide receiver no $2 million, man, in college. Nah, that ain't me. I ain't doing that. I can't do it. Unless they tell me that we get a chance to have Travis Hunter, he could come back to college and he could come here and play for us, then he gonna get some of my check. But they ain't paying nobody $2,000 this year. Not to me. $2 million, whatever. I just say, yeah, we ain't giving nobody that.
Basically, Jeremiah Smith and Hunter are the that's only it. Ones.
Yeah, the homie,
he's right.
The homie at Ohio State right. can make $2 million a year. You want to make? I've never heard your name. You want to make $2 million a year? No, not
I mean,
happening.
Good luck to that.
Good riddance. Get wherever you want to go. See you later. Love the honesty from Fran Brown.
Who gets in the head of, like, this dude's really good at Syracuse. It was a little bit of a surprise that he entered the portal yesterday. But then you hear the coach is like, in my office basically asking for $2 million. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Like, all right, see you later.
$2 million.
Have fun. Yeah.
You really would have to be Jeremiah Smith for me to even consider that.
Yeah. Pull up his. I know they had a good passing attack. He's a good wide receiver. I'll pull up his numbers from last year.
$2 million?
It's insanity.
Come on.
It's insanity.
What's his first name?
Trevor.
Yeah, okay.
Trebor. Well, he had 941 yards and 9 touchdowns.
If I was to ask you honestly, name their leading receiver last year, would you even have named him?
No.
I wouldn't have.
No.
I knew they had a passing attack. I knew McCord was putting up numbers, but I didn't know the names of the receivers.
The irony of this, too, is that was his fourth year at Syracuse. I'm assuming he redshirted his first year because he's got another year of eligibility, although it was COVID year, too. So he got that bonus year. That was his freshman year. His junior year, his third year at Syracuse, he had 203 receiving yards. Then he ballooned up to 941 last year. So he had a good year. But you finally have a good season, and you go into the office, you're a coach, and you say, pay me $2
million. Bro, $2
million? $2
million?
I think the more and more that we see coaches
doing this.
That's
what a starting quarterback in the SEC is making, man.
Do these kids just go back to the schools with their tails tucked between their legs?
No, I think you take less.
I don't know.
I don't know if the coach wants you back after that. Of like, you're going to leave the team over there. I'm sure he was being compensated, and you think your value was that. Yeah. There was just a report that came out.
McCoy just transferred from Texas State, by the way.
He's already transferred again. Yeah,
he was there for 3 months.
See, he's not going to win the starting job, so he's out. He wants to go play somewhere. Ross Dellinger just had this. Let me find the numbers. Now, this is, again, different sport, but to your question of where do they end up going?
Yeah.
The AD Advisors, a consulting firm for athletic departments, just released a comprehensive study on the basketball transfer portal window dating back to 2019. So basically the last 6 years, and how long has the portal been basic? You know, transfers have been, used to be able to do it once, and then that guardrail was released. So guys have been transferring for a while. It found that 65% of Division I basketball athletes who entered the transfer portal transferred down a level or did not find a new home.
Well, yeah, there's too many players.
65, over half of the people who went into the portal either didn't find another place to play college basketball or had to go from Division I to Division II or FBI, you know, transfer down a level or down a conference.
It is football. Wild stuff. Football is easier in the sense of, like, we know the portal turnover happens, but football is like, helmet is on, don't know dude. And if you see a name that you're like, oh, it rings a bell. Man, basketball is in such a bad place with this. I there's been 85 per day that I'm like, so-and-so signed in the portal.
Yeah, Baylor had a good year. They literally lost every player on their roster.
Edgecombe
went to the NBA,
players.
And everybody else transferred or graduated.
Yeah.
They have nobody left on their team.
I just don't know how you keep up with it in basketball.
Nobody, man. It's wild. So I thought that that was pretty funny from Fran Brown. I love his honesty of like $2 million. What?
I love just to get out of here.
Get out of here. You're not making that. Okay. I have dragged my feet long enough. Are you guys ready to unite everybody? Solve our problems?
I mean, Fran Brown's kind of uniting us.
Fran Brown's a pretty uniting force. I'd vote for that guy for office. He seems like a straight shooter. He's not going to BS you. I would vote for Fran Brown.
That's... Alderman in the 7th District?
Yeah, I think I'd go that direction. Let's now solve all of our issues.
Yeah.
Courtesy of a leader of our generation. Many people call her this.
Hmm.
Katy Perry. I don't know if you know this. Yeah. Katy Perry's been to space. She's now an astronaut.
She is a firework.
She is a firework, and she solved our problems by going to space.
I hope they can see the unity that we modeled and replicate that and understand that we weren't just taking up space, we were making space.
That's right.
For the future.
Five of you.
And for me, like Gail said, this wasn't a ride, it wasn't a destination, it was a journey, and it was a supernatural one. And... My journey has always been about love and belonging, and I think that we have all felt that sometimes we weren't worthy or we didn't belong in certain ways, no matter all the accolades, no matter all the studying, no matter anything. And I think today we all said it, like, we belong here. This is where we belong, and we feel very sure of that. So I think that...
Oh my God, there's 20
You'll
seconds
never
left.
Know.
Oh, she's still going. Let her cook.
The amount of love that you have inside of you to give space. And to receive until the day you launch. Because you're leaving all the love behind and you're surrendering and you're hoping that you get another chance to love them again. And so when you come back down, you're like, oh, I get another chance and I'm going to do it.
Oh my God, now I'm crying. Okay.
I was crying because of that game.
It's not bringing to tears. It brings me to tears,
from
man.
Laughter. What is that?
I hope Ryan Clark's not listening right now because I don't know how he follows that.
This was, they had a press conference for these self-indulgent gals who wanted to shoot themselves into space.
Was this on one of Elon's ships?
No, this was Bezos.
It was a Bezos ship.
Blue Origin.
His pucker face fiance was on it, and Gayle King, and I don't know who the hell else was on it.
His fiance made Lauren Sanchez, she made a joke and was like, I didn't know how bad he didn't want to marry me until he shot me into space.
Can somebody come up with the billionaire idea of creating these rockets, putting people like this on it and just not having the return function,
like the astronauts that were stuck for 9 months.
Sorry, you're stuck up there now.
It's not a destination,
it's a journey.
She
kissed the ground when she got back. Gayle King's all offended because people are telling her, I mean, what is this? This publicity stunt?
We're
what are
not
we doing?
Taking up space,
no,
we're creating,
they're creating space.
Space.
You make sense of that one, huh?
I just,
huh? You solved that equation in your head.
How do you exist?
We hope we're an inspiration.
Yes. I'm very inspired.
There's like five of you in that rocket. If you didn't get along, it'd have been awkward.
All these rich,
That's Gal Gadot.
You want an inspiration? I'll give you an inspiration. Yeah, that's the song, Imagine.
Imagine.
Trying to cheer us
COVID.
All up. Yeah, in your million-dollar mansions as we're losing our jobs. Imagine all the people. I'm going to order Grubhub again. If you want
it's
inspiration,
so far a masterpiece,
that it is. Yeah,
if I do say so myself.
I'll tell you who's an inspiration. That's Bezos' ex-wife for realizing that guy's an absolute psychopath, taking billions of his money and then giving all of it away. That's an inspiration. Not self-indulgent rich people who are just shot up with all sorts of plastic surgery and Botox, sending themselves into space, acting important. But I hope Katy Perry made your Friday better. And solve the problems. Let's stop taking up space. Let's create space.
I'm suddenly not angry anymore.
And create love. I'm in a calm mode of zen.
God.
And I'm going to talk to Ryan Clark in a calm mode of zen. That is next. He covers the Beavers for the Oregonian. They play their spring game this weekend. Mm-hmm. Will we be able to watch it? It doesn't sound like it. Let's find out the storylines from Ryan Clark next on The Fam. Well, we all know Oregon plays their spring game next weekend. Little did we know, Oregon State sneaking up on us. They got a game tomorrow.
They
down
go first.
At Reister. They go first.
Yeah.
They are this weekend, and joining us now is our good buddy, Ryan Clark of the Oregonian, covering the Beavs.
Longtime beat writer.
Longtime Beaver beat writer. At Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. You go give him a follow. Ryan, this snuck up on us. Is it a game? Is it a scrimmage? It is a practice? What do we know about what's going on in Corvallis
Holy
tomorrow?
Holy crap. Well, it snuck up on me a little bit too, guys. I'm filling in here for Nick Daschle on the Beavers beat for the next few months. So it's a surprise for me too. But look, it's coming up tomorrow. I'm looking like it's going to be some good live action for Beavers fans to take in over in Corvallis and see some new faces, including Malik Murphy, who has been sort of the talk of the town, the big money Duke quarterback transfer. So it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow in Corvallis. Beautiful day too, should be weather-wise. Yeah.
I know you haven't been on the beat that long as you fill in for Daschle here, but I'm just curious, in the time that you've spent, because we talked a little bit yesterday via text trying to get you on the show, of just the access is different, right? Like, you covered Oregon for a long time. The access is a little different at Oregon State. From the access you've gained, I'm just curious, even if it's just a week and a half, what is kind of your takeaway of what their messaging is about this team at this point of the offseason?
Yeah, I think the messaging has surrounded the strides that they've made. And, you know, we get good access at these practices. We can't report, obviously, on the details of everything that goes on necessarily, right, but we get to view the whole thing. And, I mean, right now down in Eugene, there's no practice viewing allowed at all during the spring, which is certainly a difference. But, you know, regardless of the complaints of small beat writers like myself, I think that, you know, the narrative you hear from a lot of folks around the Beavers is that it's night and day compared to last year by way of, you know, discipline, by way of the way that, you know, players are executing and communicating, and the attitude and honestly, frankly, the ground that they're standing on as a program. There was a lot more uncertainty this time last year than there is now. The NIL market is out of control in multiple sports, but that, you know, seems to be, I guess, less of a problem in football for the Beavers compared to maybe other sports like men's basketball, where you see them shedding players left and right. They've spent the money on the football roster, and it seems like they've built a pretty complete group.
We're talking with Ryan Clark of the Oregonian, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter, covering Oregon State. Their spring game is tomorrow down at Corvallis. You mentioned Murphy and the attention that he will get. Unquestionably, the biggest storyline probably around the team this spring is just having a competent quarterback and what it does to their chances in 2025. As you're down there talking to coaches, seeing what's going on, who are the other names that are standing out that I think fans would be eager to maybe get their first look at, or guys who are maybe expected to take a big jump from last year to this year?
Yeah, I think the excitement is around Murphy for sure. You know, Jabari Johnson is competing, and they're still using the it's a competition thing with the quarterback position. Obviously, they haven't officially named Malik Murphy the starter, but he will be. Mm-hmm. I could see Jabari getting some looks just because of his versatility and you know, his speed and athleticism as well. But, you know, in terms of the guys that Malik would throw to, Darius Clemens, a fellow Westview alum, shout out to the Wildcats. Trent Walker, obviously coming back. He's a Beaverton guy. Zachary Card is someone, though, that in the practices that I've viewed, his speed has been incredible to watch. He's made huge plays. He's caught passes along the sideline. He's not just a burner. You know, he's somebody that could make a breakthrough this year. And the tight end position, I think, on offense has been the one that has stood out the most so far. Jackson Bowers, the BYU transfer, and then Riley Williams, the Miami transfer. Both of those guys come in big, strong guys, soft hands. They've been favorite targets of Malik Murphy so far in these, you know, live actions that we've gotten to see. So, you know, Riley Williams, a Central Catholic guy as well, so a good connection there. So the offense has plenty of weapons, I think, for Malik Murphy to throw to. We'll see how the offensive line shapes out. Defensively, the secondary is built out with really long, athletic guys. The size of the secondary is something you really notice when you stand on the sideline, and that's something that they're hoping can counteract perhaps a lack of speed in that area. But you know, inside linebackers led by Micaiah Tung, who you know, comes back from a devastating knee injury in 2023. He's a guy that used to play wide receiver and is now playing inside linebacker, and you know, just had made the transition to that position before he injured basically every ligament in his knee in 2023. He's back after that long recovery, and You know, the defensive line, you've got transfers coming in. Tajay Mullix from Western Carolina is a guy people are excited about on the interior. He's been banged up in spring. And then Nico Taylor coming back on the edge. You know, this Oregon State pass rush was terrible last year. They will admit that. They were dead last in the country with 7 sacks all season last year. And for those who have been following both of our state's teams, Oregon had 10 sacks in the UW game alone. So that is a significant area of improvement for the Beavs. And seems like they're going to.
Yeah, I read your piece on the tight ends. I thought it was really good. It kind of, Oregon State's been underrated in terms of they've usually had pretty solid tight end play. So it looks like they're kind of getting back to that. And we know that quarterbacks, especially when they're under duress and they got that pressure, they love to dump off to a tight end who will find like maybe a hole in the defense somewhere. So very interesting with the tight ends. I am curious though, offensively in general, they sucked. I mean, just point blank, they were garbage last year. A lot of games where I'm watching them play and I'm like, what is the offense at this point? But it's also hard to have an offense when your quarterback's a question mark. And that's kind of what it was last year. And so Murphy building off of a good year at Duke, we'll see what he's going to end up doing this year. What has Ryan Gunderson talked about, or what have you heard about the expectations of offenses? They have these tight ends, they've got returning targets, the running back situation should be fine. What is the expectation offensively for them given where it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation is for, you know, profound improvement, right? I mean, it gets it doesn't get much worse than maybe it was in some of those stretches last year. You know, they feel though like, you know, the solidity at the quarterback position, having a player like Malik Murphy, not just someone who is proven capable but is thoroughly experienced and brings that level of, you know, ease to the position, is going to be arguably the biggest factor, because they feel like they have weapons, they feel like they have guys for him to throw to, they feel like the running back position is really solid. You know, obviously any program is going to try to spin what they have as a, you know, good thing, a positive thing, and on the way to improvement. But I think objectively, you know, you look at their roster and they are poised, I think, to make strides on offense and to be a team that isn't so woeful as they often were last year with the ball in their hands.
Last one for you, Ryan. We had a listener earlier saying, I'm just wondering if you can confirm this, that the game will not be on TV. Is there any way to watch it? Do you know the answer to that?
Not yet. I am not 100% okay. Sure about the streaming info or TV info, but my understanding is there isn't one as of right now.
I'm going to ask you, Ryan, a kind of an open-ended one. I'm kind of putting you in a spot here a little bit. I know, you haven't been on the beat that long. The conference, the uncertainty of the media rights, the adding of a team or maybe not adding of a team, what are the vibes like when you go to Corvallis right now? They had a very underwhelming first season with Bray. What are the vibes in general like?
In general, I mean, you know, being around the football program, of course, there's these looming giant things out in the distance. And I mean, they're right at home for the Beavers, who are directly affected by so much of this. But compared to maybe some of the challenges that Oregon State's other sports teams are facing, it feels relatively normal. It feels like a normal spring with, you know, a positive attitude maybe in general, but I guess a little bit of nervousness, wondering what's going to happen with, obviously, realignment, what the NIL landscape is going to look like. Obviously, you know, Oregon State's athletic director is pushing hard for the House settlement to get wrapped up and completed, and hoping to avoid any state laws like the one that may run counter to the House settlement that's potentially going to pass here in Oregon, but trying to get a piece of federal legislation on that front is a big focus for Scott Barnes and all the folks that are interested. They're trying to level the playing field and trying to calm down this insane roller coaster that, quite frankly, you know, athletic programs like Oregon State can't really sustain staying on. They don't want this to be the way things are forever. For the NIL payments for basketball players to be double their total budget for the entirety of a season, like one player getting $1.6 million and their whole budget for men's basketball being $800,000. Like that's not sustainable. And so, you know, the football program, I think, is in a more solid place because it has not only more resources dedicated to it, but just in general feels more solid. But everything else swirling around it affects so many different facets of what they're trying to do down in Corvallis.
Yeah, interesting times. Hopefully there's a way we get some feedback on it. We'll have to read your reporting on it if we can't watch it on TV. Oregon State spring game tomorrow. Ryan Clark covering the Beavs temporarily for the Oregonian, one of our favorites, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Enjoy the game this weekend. Should be great weather, and let's do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. Ryan Clark of the Oregonian. Look, you know me. I'm a weirdo with spring football, so I enjoy watching this stuff. If we can't watch it, a little bummed. A little bummed. I was excited to see Malik Murphy.
I mean, they don't do things the way they don't. Other programs.
Just Malik
do.
Murphy in a Beaver uniform. How's he throwing? What's the timing like with the wide receiver? I think they got a decent wide receiver core that's back this year.
We can get to this at some point, but like, I have to wait to see what the offensive line's going to look like. They brought in back Kavanaugh, but... if the line is fine, your running back is back.
You got your back back.
Your receivers are back. And your tight end room really is stacked. They brought in two dudes from two different programs that had good career. Like, there really is no
excuse. There's pieces to work with, and you got a functioning quarterback now.
I better not see an Air Force game ever again in my life. That is still to this day the worst football game I've ever watched in my life. And the Cal game happened, I think, like a week later.
Yeah, it was not pretty. So neither of them were. So that's the only thing. Look, I know it's not a real game. It's not a glimpse. It won't give you any indicator. Just to see what the timing is like, how he looks, how the timing is with the wide receivers. The offense should take a big step this year. I know there's no TV deal there for them currently. Wish you could get it on the CW or something this weekend. That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But Oregon State nonetheless plays their game this weekend. And listener said, tomorrow's going to be a good day. OSU spring game in the morning, followed by WrestleMania right afterwards. All I need is some local boys to make it perfect.
There you go.
Let's do a little gambling for this weekend, shall we? You guys got some bets that you like? I already put a parlay in for the first round. I'll tell you what that is. We'll do a little fun, shortened version of spreading the line as we send you off in your weekend. That is next.
Spraying the line.
I missed it. You miss it?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Kicking your guys' ass? I did miss it.
Kicking my own ass. Do you mind? Spraying the line brought to you by Unity. Katy Perry must have united with Aaron Rodgers because she sounds like she took some ayahuasca. Let's do one more quick one. We don't have the time. Sprague and Line brought to you by an old favorite, Sprague, watching the playoffs while eating two medium pizzas.
Getting pizza tonight.
You naughty boy. We were talking to Keith Smith earlier in the show.
Yeah.
He got my brain working.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? I'm putting a parlay in. The Rockets are getting disrespected, man.
I got to do it. Wow.
And I put a parlay in. When I was there, I was like, you know what, the Rockets payout's not all that I want it to be, so let's add a little juice to this. We got a +499 Bucks Rockets series winner parlay placed during the Keith Smith interview. I think Dame can come back at some point. Giannis is the best player in the East. I don't really know what to make of Indiana. Fine. Giannis can win a couple of games on his own. I like the Bucks. I like the Rockets. Both underdogs in their series.
Timbers versus the LAFC team at home this weekend.
Yes.
They finally got good weather for a home game. I feel like every Timbers home game has just been a downpour
Is this weather riding into the weekend?
I think it's going to be a little, not quite as good, but not bad. A little sprinkle in the morning tomorrow.
Maybe on the Timbos?
Shower or two on Sunday.
Yeah, the Timbos right now are starting to develop some chemistry on the attack.
They're red hot and rolling.
Their goaltender right now is playing very well.
I was going to say, been great.
Yeah.
I'll give you two NBA playoff ones.
Okay.
So, first one is a parlay. Over 5.5 games in the Houston Golden State series. Over 5.5 in the LA Laker Minnesota series. Over 5.5 in the Denver LA Clippers series. And under 5.5 games in the Detroit Knicks series, because I'm actually taking the Knicks to win that series
in a hurry.
All those is a +624.
Okay.
And I'm feeling myself on this Clipper Nugget thing, despite the fact that the odds have shifted. Denver winning game one. Clippers winning game two, so we split in Denver. Denver winning game three in L.A., and then the Clippers finishing the series winning three straight is a plus 5,500. Wow. And I like the Clippers in six.
Ooh, that's a decent way to get to six.
I could see that series going exactly that way.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Can they handle the wall in the Intuit Dome?
Statistically, no team could handle the wall.
No, it actually worked out very well.
I think the worst opponent free throw percentage at home this year.
A rich owner that did something cool for his team that actually worked out. How about that?
The arena itself is just supposed to be awesome.
Looks pretty badass. Yeah, it looks pretty badass.
Inglewood up no good.
You like anything this weekend, Swag?
Tonight, a little quick parlay. I like the Heat-Hawks game going over. I think this is going to be a track meet, and Tyler Hero's on fire, but I think Atlanta will be desperate in some regards. So over 221 there. We'll parlay that. I like the Mavericks plus six. I think this game is going to be close, whether or not Ja plays or not. Anthony Davis is giving you everything that he's got in the tank. Now we'll see how long that tank lasts for them, but I think this will come down to some final possessions. So you take them plus six, the over on the Heat Hawks game. That's a nice little plus 267. And I do like some hockey. Playoffs start game one. So the first game will be the Winnipeg Jets, who were the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
They have the Vezina Trophy winner and Connor Hellebuck, who might be the Hart Trophy winner as a goalie, which doesn't happen all the time.
Well, it'd be ridiculous if he didn't win it.
Ovechkin's going to get some love.
Yeah,
Kucherov's going to get some love.
Coochie's been good. Ovechkin getting the Gretzky thing helps a lot. But come on, if you're not giving it
to who? Who should win it? What team does he play
for? Blue Line Brandon.
What team does he play for? I love this. Can you name me a position?
What is this, test time with Brandon? Let's move on.
I've already given my bets. I'm moving on.
But it's
an
interesting first round series because the Jets are the number one seed, President's Cup winners. The Blues have the best record since the Four Nations face-off, even though they are the second wild card team. They're trying to capture the magic they had when they got hot in January and won the cup a few years back.
The Four
back.
Nations time off helped them a lot. The Fighting John Hams are here, and they're ready to go.
But Hellebuck is going to be on fire for game one. The wideout will be going nuts
That atmosphere will be very cool. Yeah.
So I will take under 5.5 total goals parlayed with the Winnipeg Jets on the money line. That is plus 160.
Okay. I'm an idiot. So
that was a lot of information to finish.
Just to tell you,
plus
I like
160. 60
like Winnipeg.
You give me all that information, it's got to be minimum plus 400.
I'm an idiot, so just take this with a grain of salt. I don't know why. I think I'm putting some money on Toronto to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, don't bet on my Leafs right now.
I think I'm going to do it. I know
You think Everett's chokers. There's no bigger, no bigger choker than in the Toronto. Playoffs than no the big, Toronto Maple Leafs.
They're going to get past the Ice Cats?
At what point does the luck turn? Like, at what point does the streak end? We just came off of Rory McIlroy faltering and failing every year in the Masters.
Four major championships.
He absolutely did. The Maple Leaves won some cups long time ago.
You have to go back to see the Maple Leafs win four playoff series.
Go ways. I'm just saying, this might be the year of redemption. I got a feeling it's in the air.
Yeah.
So let's not act like they're a bad team. Look, it's stupid. Don't follow me on that one. I got a three-team NBA parlay for tomorrow. Actually, one game's on Sunday. My apologies. So for the weekend, I'm taking the Rockets minus 1.5 in game one.
Love it.
I think the place is going to be juiced. Golden State's so reliant on two guys. They're going to make it dirty, get some technicals all over the place. I think the Rockets win game one.
Mm.
I do like the Nuggets in game one of their series at home. It's such a small spread. You essentially just got to win. It's 2.5. I'm taking the Nuggies in game one. And then give me the Pistons plus 7 in game one in Madison Square Garden. I think they can hang around. I don't know if they're going to win the series.
The motorcade.
They probably will not, but I think they can keep that game at least somewhat competitive.
Knicks in five.
Despite the lack of playoff experience, give me the Pistons plus 7. Don't question NBA Dirt, okay? NBA Dirt's back. And
I think it's high school Dirt.
NBA Dirt's here.
Dirt and Blue Line Brandon.
We're here, baby.
Make some money.
Sprague and Line brought to you by Dirt and Sprague, investigating EVP from Ghost. Next week, we'll be searching for Bigfoot. That is right. That's our next journey. And Sprague and Line brought to you by Blue Origin Cleaning Crew. We're just like after a Sprague pick gone wrong, we clean up all the crap left behind.
Let's do this again soon.
Take care.
We got touched by a ghost. Patrick Swayze touched us this week on the show.
I mean, if I could be Demi Moore in that situation.
You want to make some pottery?
It's a sexy vase.
That's not a bad vase right there. Let's send you on your way. It's a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Last segment of our long, grueling work week.
You still got to buy a retirement gift.
I do. Well, we'll update the poll questions.
He's gonna sign the card.
We'll let you know where the people are next on The Fam. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. Next week's going to be a big week, man. We got the NFL draft going on.
Pretty excited for it, man. I know it's being downplayed a little bit. But I think it's going to be a little unpredictable. A
lot of chaos.
A lot of chaos.
No trades. Have we had any traded picks yet?
No.
First round, at least. I know we've had some randoms, like third or fourth
rounders. Nothing
in
this offseason.
It doesn't seem to be a draft worth trading into. Like,
it doesn't.
You sit where you sit and
let
the chips fall where they may.
I mean, interesting. Yeah, most years I feel like at least at this point there's been, hey, so-and-so moved up or so-and-so is looking or itching to get into the top five. Maybe that changes in the next couple days. But round one will be on Thursday, so I have a lot on the NBA or the NFL draft. And the NBA playoffs begin this weekend, so we'll have all sorts of game ones to react to. No game twos because you got to take a day off. But I believe all of our game ones would have happened by Monday's show.
They're
all
Saturday, four on Saturday, four on Sunday.
Okay, so every game one will have taken place. So we will be able to break down all the game ones in the NBA playoffs.
Will. Looking forward to it.
Let's take a look at the poll questions today. At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter, you can go vote. Your boss of 10-plus years is retired. When you go to the retirement party, do you bring a gift?
We'll have a full report on this on Monday.
58-42 is your split.
Okay.
Saying yes, you bring a gift.
Yeah.
People have very strong opinions, based on the responses, very strong opinions on this topic. I think we struck a nerve with some folks.
What do you mean?
Somebody said, I got coworkers every 30 to 45 years who retire every year. All I get is a cake. 30-second speech in the morning, off to work. My boss is going to get the same treatment.
Some would argue cake is the best retirement gift.
Unless you don't get a piece.
A sweet little goodbye.
Then it's a little frustrating. Make sure you get your piece. And last but not least, which owner would you rather have? And that sound you hear in the background is Danny Marang's head exploding. Matt Ishbia or the Vulcans and Jody Allen? 82% of you say you'd rather have Matt Ishbia as the owner of your NBA team.
An aggressive rich guy that wants to win, but he has been a big loser.
He has not done a lot of winning, that is for certain. That will do it for us, folks. Hope you have a great weekend. Make sure to tune in to Golf in the Northwest tomorrow morning, bright and early. We're going to have a fun little weekend. Hopefully the weather stays nice. We got all sorts of stuff going on next week. It's going to be a big week of shows. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan on Twitter. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.